The GTA 6 situation has become its own entertainment saga, entirely separate from the game itself. A group calling itself CyberLeak has been releasing gameplay footage all week, revealing details like a day-night cycle that runs 144 real-time minutes for a full in-game day, 3 times longer than GTA 5 48-minute cycle, which is a meaningful indication of the game's ambient world complexity. Now the group is threatening to release the entire game build unless Take-Two Interactive backs off what they describe as disruption attempts. The claim is that copies are stored on servers distributed globally and will auto-release if tampered with, essentially a dead man's switch for piracy.
Take-Two is in a genuinely difficult position here. Pursuing the leakers legally draws more attention to the leaked material and potentially accelerates the very release they are trying to prevent. Backing off signals that extortion works against major game studios, which creates a template for future attacks. And the financial stakes are enormous. GTA 6 is expected to be the highest-grossing entertainment release in history, potentially exceeding $2 billion in the first year, and significant pre-release spoilers could dampen the launch experience even if they don't reduce day one sales. The metadata story that Trump aide Natalie Harp wrote his January 6th committee memo has a parallel structure here. Document metadata reveals things people tried to keep hidden.
The AI and music argument between Dr. Dre and Bette Midler represents a genuine cultural divide that will only intensify. Dre called AI a creative tool, essentially placing it in the same category as synthesizers or drum machines, which were also initially controversial and eventually normalized. Midler described an AI-generated hit as cultural genocide, which is strong language, but points to a real concern. If AI can produce commercially successful music trained on existing artists' styles without compensation or attribution, it hollows out the economic foundation that allows human artists to develop careers over time. Both positions are sincere, and neither is entirely wrong.
The Sony digital ownership reminder connects to something deeper in consumer culture. We've spent the last 15 years being trained to prefer the convenience of digital access over the security of physical ownership. Streaming music, streaming movies, digital games, and Sony's notification is a reminder of what we traded away. A physical game disc purchased in 1998 still works on original hardware in 2026. A digital purchase from 2015 exists at the discretion of a corporation's business decisions. The EU's Digital Markets Act is beginning to address this, but American consumers have very little recourse under current law.
The deportees stranded in the Central African Republic without documents are a story that doesn't fit neatly into entertainment or culture, but deserves acknowledgement. People removed from the United States, sent to a country many had no meaningful connection to, without travel documents, without resources, essentially abandoned. The Central African Republic has one of the lowest per capita GDPs in the world and an active internal conflict. This is a humanitarian consequence of immigration enforcement policy that goes largely unreported in the broader news cycle.
On the "what if we're wrong" question today, I want to challenge our most confident framing, which is the consensus view that the Iran sanctions package will be effective, that economic isolation is the right strategic tool at this stage of the conflict. The assumption embedded in that view is that Iran's government is responsive to economic pressure in ways that change its strategic calculus. But here's the counterargument. Iran has been under significant sanctions since 1979, 47 years. Every successive administration has described its Iran sanctions package as the most comprehensive ever assembled. And yet, Iranian strategic behavior has not fundamentally changed in ways that U.S. policymakers anticipated. The Revolutionary Guard is still intact. The nuclear program was not stopped by sanctions, it was temporarily paused by the JCPOA, a negotiated deal that sanctions explicitly didn't produce.
You're pointing at something real. The assumption that sanctions intensity correlates with behavioral change ignores the regime's demonstrated capacity to adapt and the political utility it derives from external pressure. A government under siege from the outside can always reframe internal suffering as the enemy's fault rather than its own failures. Iran's leadership has done this effectively for decades. The argument for sanctions being different this time rests on the claim that 6 months of war damage combined with total financial isolation reaches a threshold that prior sanctions didn't. But we don't actually have a clean historical example where that threshold was crossed.
If we're wrong about sanctions working, what we'd expect to see is Iran doubling down on proxy conflict and asymmetric pressure, attacks on shipping, support for regional militias, acceleration of whatever remaining nuclear capacity survived the strikes, rather than coming to the table. What to watch for? If Iranian-linked activity in the Red Sea or Persian Gulf escalates in the 2 weeks after Monday's announcement, that's a signal the sanctions are being read as escalation rather than as an off-ramp. If Iranian diplomatic backchannels become more active, as the Khamenei peace talks disclosure might suggest, then the economic pressure is producing the intended negotiating leverage. The indicator is clear. Watch the Gulf and watch the backchannel signals simultaneously.
The other assumption worth challenging is on AI adoption. Altman admitted he was wrong about speed. Our confident framing has been that AI will transform X industry by Y date. But slower than expected adoption might mean the technology has more genuine limits than the hype acknowledged. Not just deployment friction, but actual capability gaps in high-stakes domains like medicine, law, and financial advice, where the cost of errors is prohibitive. If we're wrong about AI's near-term transformative impact, the signal to watch is enterprise renewal rates on AI software subscriptions. If companies that piloted AI tools in 2024 and 2025 are not renewing contracts at scale in 2026 and 2027, that tells you adoption isn't sticking, which is qualitatively different from being slow.